Hey, it's Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doc. Thanks for joining me on my podcast, Tell Me Something Good About Retail, where I interview some of the best entrepreneurs and retailers and people who deal with retail in a new and exciting podcast format each week. So join me live here, or you can also find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. Let's get going. Thanks for joining me this week as I speak to Jennifer Grimm, CEO and founder of Lux Beauty Boutique in Edmonton, Canada. Three points that I really looked forward to being able to learn about is her philosophy, math doesn't lie, her understanding of how core values impacts everything she does, and understanding that her two customers are just as important, and that first customer is the one that purchases the product and the other that represents it. Tune in now to learn more. And joining me today is Jennifer Grimm with Lux Beauty up in Edmonton, Canada. Hey, thanks for joining me, Jen.
Hi, Bob. Thanks so much for having me.
Wonderful to have you join us. So our listeners do not know who you are or where you are or anything about your wonderful company. So tell me who you are and a bit about how you got there.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so my name is Jennifer, and almost 20 years ago, so 18 years ago, right out of university, the stars came together and I opened up Lux Beauty Boutique. At the time, certainly in Canada and much more so in Edmonton, all the really cool, hard to find beauty brands that we would read about in magazines all the time weren't available. And I thought, well, I grew up magazines and loving the beauty industry and thinking that someone should bring this here. So why not me?
Yeah.
It was also around that time that the internet was first starting. I think Amazon was just a page full of kind of janky looking links. Sephora was just entering the US market. It was all about like going to the department store, maybe to the body shop, but that sort of open brand, open counter cosmetic buying experience was very, very, very new. And then in 18 years,
Think that's the key, Jen. Do I call you Jennifer or Jen? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, Jen.
Oh, good. So I think the key, though, is that you understood the frustration point that women in your market had.
Yes.
And that open counter, you were pretty fast forward with that, weren't you? I didn't think that was around that much 20 years ago, was it?
That
idea of the open.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, that was very, very.
You know, you have to kind of wait for them to come serve you. That's not your store. And so you were a pioneer in that, really, weren't you?
Yeah. But I also think it's important to, or it worked out at least, that, so, you know, I had grown up loving magazines and beauty products are really fun, and that was an interest to me. But the reason why my business lasted 18 years is because of my love and fit for retail and for business. So it happened to be, I chose a really cool industry to open a store with, but I always joke, like, I could be doing this for selling tires, for refrigerators.
Seems like I've got a lot of dings on my phone today. Well, so the beauty was just a vehicle to get you there. You knew you wanted to be in retail.
Yes. And something I also think is pretty cool is how at the time I actually didn't know that I loved retail. Like I got my my degree in business from the university, and I thought, well, I'll be a consultant and tell other people how to run their businesses, and then maybe one day I'll open up my own consulting firm.
By the way, that sounds better than it actually is. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. And because I always knew that I just loved business and how it worked and the strategy behind it and the problem solving and the creativity. And in university, I had an undeclared major. So some people, focus in marketing or some people focus in, I don't know, management science, but I was undeclared because I just had too many interests and I couldn't just focus on one. Well, what I have since learned is that people who have undeclared majors in university are actually perfect for going into retail because, as you know, each day is different and you have
Well,
to.
that's right, because you have to wear all those different hats, and so you have to be up for the challenge.
Exactly. Yeah. And then just that constant change and the diversity of skills and all that fun stuff.
Fabulous. Well, I need you to talk about the way that you do manage, well, the way you manage your employees, because you are so, it's like they hire with you once, and then your goal is to get them to go on and do great things, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. I hope they stick
I
around
mean,
for a while.
you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, it's a great source of joy in my life to see where my Lux alum ladies go, and
Well, but it's a
many of them are
focus. How do
doing
you do it? Because folks that are just joining us, Jennifer has been in business 20 years, and you've got a real system of how you empower your employees. It's not just lip service with you. So can you share, two or three tips of how you have such a passionate workforce? I think
for
that's
sure.
key.
Well, I think it all starts with hiring and being really involved in the interview process and the hiring. And what it comes down to is several years ago, myself, my organization, we properly defined our core values. And of course, core values exist always. That's why they're core. But we
Even if
actually
they're not
like
written down, they exist. So there's
Like they're
that.
there, but we like defined them into four core values, and that was the best thing I've ever done. And so be able to point on the wall and say, yes, you're part of our organization because you match those core values, or oh, sorry, it's been a poor fit, not because either of us are wrong, it's just that we're not the right fit. And so that was number one. Absolutely. Find your core values and hire to those.
Can you give us one example of a core value? Because I know it's hard. I know it's hard to work on.
Yeah, for
So.
sure. So the Lux core values are passion for exemplary retailing, pounce on possibilities, united front, and find a way to say yes plus. And
Wow.
everything we do comes down to those. And those are the qualities that I look for in
And
people.
live and breathe by it. So when you're interviewing, you're hearing, how is this a match or not a match? And
Yeah.
it's not whether I like them. It's are they gonna grow and thrive in this environment? Because there are plenty of people that are not. We're in this together,
Yeah.
and yes, plus it's kind of a no, maybe, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It just everything became so clear as soon as those were written on the paper. It was great. So absolutely my number one. Spend some time, spend money on an expert, whatever you need to do to define your core values.
And then you do meetings every week, don't you? Isn't that one of your things, or?
Well, it depends on how busy the year is, but
Sure.
absolutely, we love our team and but not only for a chance to get everyone trained up on whatever the subject is at the time, but also we just all really like each other, so it's an opportunity to hang out and have some fun. Yeah, really, our staff meetings and our trainings are really fun. Or sometimes it's like, okay, well, actually, we're all going to go out to a patio and hang out, but we'll kind of integrate a bit of meeting to this.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was thinking of is that at Lux, our mission statement is it's not too complex. It's everyone leaves Lux feeling happier when they came than when they came in. And so I always say it's not just about the clients feeling happier, which of course it is. I mean, if
Right,
someone
right.
walks out the door and they're feeling happier than when they came in, you have done your job. But it's about our team. You come to work and spend so many hours of your life at work. This should be a great place for you, and you should feel happy to come to work and certainly leave feeling happier at the end of your shift. And so that comes up a lot in our one-on-ones. Oh, that's another thing. I guess I do our quarterly one-on-ones checking in, setting goals. Of course, it's all about the metrics. So,
well, it's a personal, that's the thing. You're an entrepreneur, then you're driving the car. That's what I think when we met, I realized that you really are driving the car of this business, and you understand how to take care of it. Now, I'm sure people listening are thinking, well, everything is wonderful.
No.
So tell me, like, with that employee who doesn't want some, at some point, who isn't making the world a better place, and you have to have that hard conversation. Do you feel like you missed it, or you lacked, or did they, or how do you approach something like that? Because I know that's really tough for independent business, become so bonded, and we like our crew and we like them outside of work. But when it comes to the actual job, people have trouble actually either reprimanding or suggesting, hey, you know, you've already left the job. I just need the body to follow it now, you know?
Yeah. Gosh. Okay. Well, yeah. everything you said. Yes. Well, I, first of all, with like everything in life, I always think, what is my deficiency? Like, what could I be doing better? How, like, what have I not brought to the table? I just really look inward on that. Sometimes maybe for too long.
Sure. Yeah.
And just, you know, again, it comes down to that united front. And I recently had some clarity on, it's not just about, you know, part of united front is that if someone's going through a tough time, we're there for them and we'll nurture them through that. It's not just, oh, you kind of had a bad month, and so boom, you're out on the team. No, like, we'll try and get through this together. And also, what's my role in that? And then,
but you don't take responsibility for their performance all on you, right? I mean, you see this as an equal choice, isn't it?
Well, I guess that's one reason why metrics are so lovely, because it's like, math doesn't lie, right? You can read the stories in the number. And so you can say, hey, something's going on because the pattern of these numbers tell me so. And I can do as much as I can, or this environment can. But at the end of the day, like, something's going on.
Yeah.
And so that's very nice, because it takes away the you know, just the awkwardness, really, when you can just point to something that's...
Yes, it's black and white. I love that. I may have to put that on have that embroidered on something and put up, math doesn't lie. If you're have a retail store, you wonder what would be a great thing to put by your office, that's a great one, because that's what your banks look like, that's what your vendors look alike.
Yeah.
You know, and beauty...
And I say this as someone who, like, overanalyzes to death. So ultimately, when you can say, hey, there it is.
Well, can you give me an example of a challenge you've had to overcome? Because just like an employee interview, you know, I'm hearing everything's going great, growing great. And then you have to find some little contrary information to keep it a balanced thing. So what would be a challenge you've had? I mean, my goodness, you've had this beautiful store for 20 years. The market is certainly changing. You got the biggest mall in the world is not that far from you. So what's a challenge you've had, and how'd you overcome it?
Oh my God. So many.
Just one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess traffic is always going to be a challenge. And yeah. I think all retailers will sing that song. So, you know, staying relevant and staying interesting and keeping people interested. Challenges with, you know, our orders that are MIA. And so our shelf is empty of products that people really want. And who's the one that looks bad in that situation? It's Lux. It's us, right? No one's thinking, oh, well, the Canadian border turned
we'll
away
give
the
up,
border for some reason.
We'll give them a pass just because. Yeah, they don't, huh? Because you know they can walk right outside and do it on their phone.
Yeah. Another topic that certainly is on my mind, but I don't really hear out there a lot, is that, you know, we're a small business. That means that my family, we're involved. Like, the work, it's us. And so right now, like, we moved into a larger, hopefully more beautiful space about a year. Yeah, about a year and a half ago. That's right, since you were visiting.
Same development or?
Yeah, same. One of our neighboring, like, bays, I suppose, came up. available, and that was an example of pouncing on possibilities.
Perfect.
And moved in. So we have about the same amount of space on the main level, but then we have a lower level, which is a creative space, our rooms where we host parties and classes and makeup appointments, and then office space.
That's not the fun part. Yeah.
Well, actually, for me, it's the office space after years of doing this at my and my dining room table.
Oh,
so, beautiful. Okay. Office space is great. But anyway, that our store is still not 100% done. Most people wouldn't see the stuff that I see that's undone, but you know, who's doing that work? It's my husband. It's me.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's that other story where, God, imagine being Sephora with endless budget and crew and we want to try this and let's get her done. And for us, it's like time and energy. And
yeah, but that makes it more rewarding because Sephora may have money behind them. And, you know, that's good. And beauty, let's face it, you know, young women are trying on faces now instead of clothes. I think that's the thing. And so you have that experiential environment. You also have young women who understand that and keep that fun aspect, but it's about much more than that little box on the shelf. I think what I really appreciate about the way you talk about your business is you really realize you have two customers. You have an internal customer and you have the external customer, and both have to be happy. And I think that's really a key. I mean, did that come from some great advice you had received at some time, or did you just come up with it, or?
I just really like having fun. And I always thought that there had to be a better, more mature, more serious answer when, you know, the experts would say, what's your driving purpose? What's this? What's this? And I'm like, I just want to have fun. And then I clued in that that's actually kind of the key to Lux and my team and our success. So I'm going with it. It seems to work.
Yeah, we like that. Well, you know, plenty of businesses have fun and are never around 20 years. So you, I think, kind of make it sound like, you know, I just like to have fun, but math doesn't lie and you know your numbers. And how do you decide to pull a line?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess it comes down to it's got to pay its rent, right? The shelf space, we only have so much, and a brand has got to perform. Oh, that's another beauty of numbers. Oh my gosh, because anecdotes can be so distorting, and there might be like, let's say, two clients that love a product, love a brand, and those voices are very loud and distorting. But when you look at the numbers, you're like, we're not, it's not moving, it's not selling.
Yeah.
It's true. It's that balance of like having fun, but we're in it to win it, right?
What's one of the best investments or most worthwhile investments you've ever made in your business?
Oh my gosh.
This is the hard stuff. This stuff nobody asks you on the street. So
yeah, the best investment. I guess training and learning.
Let's dig into that. So why is training a great investment? Because that's the thing that, you know, I was talking about on my Facebook live video this morning, that so many people, I think, swap out learning. Oh, I read a blog or I watched a video, but then they stop and don't do action with it. And I think that's the challenge with training. The challenge is getting people over that hump to say, my life could be easier if I trained everybody to do what I want them to do instead of putting out fires all day long or settling for crumbs when I could have the whole feast. Wouldn't you agree? So how'd you get there? I mean, were you always, you know, when you're going through high school, through college, was training a big thing they brought to you, or?
So I don't remember exactly the path to getting this way. I've had great people on my team who brought knowledge with them and implemented, you know, trained because they came from corporate backgrounds and stuff. And
okay.
So much that I've learned is the various people who worked for me over the years and the knowledge that they brought. But I don't know. I guess I like to always say that my team is a team of A+ people, and A+ people like to keep their brains stimulated and perform well. And so
don't minimize that, because you're right. The A+ people like hanging with A+ people. You throw a D person with them, And not only is it demotivating for that A plus person, but it's almost impossible, I think, to get the D person up to that level. They either start at that and go higher, or they can't. Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there is nothing truer than the, what is that? The bad apple drives out good.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Or that you can tell someone by who they hang around, right? You can, those that you have to protect that team so strongly, and it's painful sometimes, and you have to take really painful action of being the big boss and letting someone go. And it's just a horrible, horrible experience, but the team has to come first.
Great. Yeah. I love that. So I want you to think that your girlfriend or a buddy of yours calls you up and says, "Hey Jen, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go. I want to talk to you." And so you go and you meet over at your local coffee place and they say, "I've always wanted to open a retail store. What advice would you give them?"
Yeah, gosh, I this happens to me. And so I think about it a lot. And okay, so I think what it really comes down to, just because I've witnessed it by reading between the lines in the news, and I've seen it happen in real life with people that I know, where is it to take a really good examination of your skill set and your personality. And are you a manager skill set and personality, or are you a owner? Because those two things are absolutely necessary, equally necessary, and very, very different. So for instance, I like something to change every day, and I like new ideas and chasing after this shiny object, right, and all that stuff. And I am not a very good manager of like the following through, the little details every day, ding, 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 ding. And thank goodness I've had those wonderful, wonderful people in my life. And conversely, I've seen people who were really, really great managers of a store, and they're like, "Oh, I love this, and I love running a store, and I love this industry, and so I'm going to go open a store," and I've seen them implode because all that other stuff that they don't see, you know, whether it's like dealing with the money stuff, and that boring stuff, or like,
well, it's a lot of stuff. It's like people who say, "Oh, it'd be great to open a bed and breakfast." Yeah. Well, it is until you open one and realize you have people in there 24 hours a day, or you think, "Oh, it'd be great, we have a restaurant or a bar." It's like, well, that's great, but you're not going to have young children with that, because you're going to be at the bar closing it down till 1 or 2 in the morning. Or, "I'm going to have a bakery." Well, you're going to be there every day at 5 a.m. making the product, and you don't get a pass from your customers. Just like you said about that cosmetics, you can't just say, "Oh, we didn't get around." You don't have that luxury, right?
Right. Yeah. So I just think it's really important that it comes down to that knowledge of, and again, I don't know. I think that there's this big like thing online now around, "Ooh, you're an owner, you're an entrepreneur, you're that whole thing."
You're doing the hustle, Jen. You're hustling.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm living the life, you know, I'm hoping that I'm living the life that I'm supposed to, and you know, my born to be and all that stuff. But I don't think it makes me better than other people. It just happens to be that I'm wired this way.
Yeah.
And so, and we need great managers, and we need team leaders, and I don't know why though that's not being exalted right now on social media, because
that's
those
a great
people
point.
Are gems.
Absolutely. And that same idea with retail in general, like, "Oh, well, you're a dinosaur marching on the desert." You're like, 90% of people are going to retail. And frankly, the skills, I always say, Jen, you know, retail kind of normalizes people who've been through retail. If you've been in retail, you learn it's about somebody else first, and then I get what I want.
Yes.
Until you do that, you think it's all about you.
Yes.
And if you don't learn that, I think you'll just have a tougher life, you know? Yeah.
Oh, retail's so great. Is there any more marginalized career choice than going into
retail,
right? And that's the other thing too, right? When we're talking about like hiring and choosing, either like you get it and you get lit up by that, or you're just like, "Oh, what?" So you spend your day folding a shirt.
Exactly. Yeah. No, when I graduated college and this opportunity came to build this group of stores from 6 to 55, became the biggest in the nation. But my friends who got their degrees, like, "You're really doing retail? Like, what a loser." And I look back and I say, thank goodness I did, because I'm living a life I didn't think I would have been able to when I was in college. And more importantly, every day I like. I'm not stuck in music school with 30 kids playing untuned guitars, trying to play Stairway to Heaven and just begging for the day I'm out of there. You know, and I got to get back to I have a few more questions. I want to be generous with your, you've been generous with your time.
Talk about this all day.
when you feel overwhelmed or you've lost your focus temporarily, what do you do
to get back?
Because you seem like an easily distracted person with a lot of fun things, but at the end of the day, that's a lot of energy you're putting in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you have a young daughter, if I'm not mistaken.
And projects, always so many projects. I definitely, being around people is re-energizing, because I can just, you know, summer is a great time to kind of get caught up on projects that need doing, so I can end up being sort of isolated with that. It's a slower time in the store, all that stuff, and so just being around people and is very energizing.
How do you turn it off? How do you turn the store off? You know what I mean? Like, they're always in your head, but do you go out with people that have nothing to do with retail? Or
if you find out the answer to that question, I don't. But I'm lucky. My husband is also, he's not involved other than, you know, being our handyman at the store. He has his own career and all that, but I don't know. There's always something to talk about. When we travel, we like look at stores and the design of them, and we kind of mentally calculate what things cost, or evaluate how the shopping experience was. It's fun, right?
I think it is fun because you're curious. And that's what makes retail fun for me. I mean, why did they do that? That's an interesting display. How is that working? I get a different feel from it. And then when you unpack it, you're like, this isn't random. You know, this is
exactly.
It's pretty amazing.
It is, yeah. So I don't know, like, it's fun, and turning it off, I don't know.
All right, fair enough. All right, so tell me something good about retail. That's always that's the name of the podcast. What would you, just tell me something good about retail.
For sure. Okay, well, yeah, all the doom and gloom, right?
Breathe.
It's still consistently it comes down to this. As consumers, as people, not even at the point of consumers, we want to be inspired, we want to feel connection, and we want to find a solution. I talk about this all the time with my team. If this is why people are walking in this door, they
absolutely
want inspiration, connection, and a solution, and we need to hopefully deliver on all three as we find out the primary one, and then, you know, also satisfy the other two. And so you know, we spend so much time online, we spend so much time working on our computers, commuting.
Yeah.
Those things do not offer necessarily those inspiration, connection, and a solution. And so that's what we're seeking.
Right.
Hey, I just want to look at pretty things. I just want someone to talk to me.
Yeah.
I want to maybe, you know, I'm kind of bored with my living room. Maybe I could use a few new pillows.
Yeah.
And I just want to be lit up by that. And how do you get that? You go by looking at stores, right? Yeah. And then having this really great experience where someone sees you and taps into what you're looking for, and then like offers all, there's nothing better. It's amazing.
Well, you don't feel alone in the world. I think that's why we shop. I mean, it is a lonely place. It's only getting lonelier.
Yeah.
The more we dive into this virtual world, everybody thinks the smartphone's the best thing ever. I think it's probably the worst invention we ever created, but because the people skills are what's leaving. And, you know, when you see people in a restaurant and the 3-year-old's on the iPad and everyone's looking down at a blue screen, I just keep thinking, you know, go out 10 years, what does this look like? And brick and mortar is holding on to that experience and saying, look, you're more like than different. I've got to find a way to like you before you like me, which is the opposite of what you're going to get on Facebook or certainly in politics or something else. And so you can't be in that cocoon if you're going to work retail. And that's why I think we can change the world with people like you that are actually, you know, again, understanding you have two customers, one that's buying a product, but also the one that you employ, and then making sure you do a great job with both of them.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I mean, thank you for saying what you said about me at the end there, but everything you were saying prior to that, I just really agree with. And exactly, where else are we getting this sort of, when it's done well, this instant satisfying connection with strangers,
yes,
right? That you can go and have all your senses stimulated and have this great conversation. And exactly like I tell my staff when I'm training them, that just like you love beauty products. So just those people who've come in, just pretend that they're your best friend and you're just showing them all your favorite stuff.
Nice. That's it.
Yeah. And you see people light up all the time because it's so rare to be seen, to be connected, inspired.
Well,
so
with that energy that you're bringing to them, that's what I like, Jen. And I think that's probably the key to your success. And is you know your numbers, but more importantly, you're enjoying your job, and ultimately, you're finding other people that share that passion. And then with that core statement of being able to make sure that the customer, when they leave, both internal and external, feels better than when they walked in. That's a great recipe for success. So again, I congratulate you. And I thank you for joining me on the podcast. Did I miss anything you wanted to say?
I've probably spoken too much.
So. Hardly at all. So how can we find out more about your wonderful business, even though this is all over the world and they may not be driving to your store, but tell us how we can find out more.
For sure. Well, first you can visit my website, which is luxbeauty.com. Then you can follow our store account on social media, which is at LuxBeautyBTQYEG, which stands for Lux Beauty Boutique. YEG is the airplane airport code for it. So LuxBeautyBTQYEG. And then me, where I try and show behind the scenes about what it's like running a store and retail experiences that I really like, is at Jen, J-E-N-N, _ Lux Beauty.
Fabulous. Well, thanks for joining us today. I really had a great time.
I did too. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jen. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And that brings us to the end of another edition of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm your host, Bob Phibbs, the Retail Doctor. Please share the love and tell your friends to subscribe as I engage retailers to share their tips for growing your retail business. Find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. While you're there, you can find a transcript of this podcast. You can send an email to me at bob@retaildoc.com to tell me what you thought of this episode. And or you can leave a comment and share your experience right here as it relates to what we were talking about today. Again, I hope you'll tune in for another episode, and good selling.